The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Or you may. You may want to write it all down for a while. You may want to write it all down. Word for word. Because it's time. It's time again. Yes, my friend, someday even this will end. But for now, the Hallelujah Trail just keeps moving on. Wake up! It's night! The network, the blog, the podcast, the Hallelujah Trail, replenishing your precious bodily fluids, it's me, Pilgrim of the Productive Alternative Broadcasting, Alt Broadcasting, Fake Entertainment. I'm the godfather of internet radio. What the hell are you doing anywhere else if you're not here? Huh? The Bard of Broadcasting! I'm here. It's me, Frank Atolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. We're chronicling tonight, Dr. Gary Popley returns, and you're here for the first time, 2017. Welcome, I am the difficult historian, and I'm here to bring you alerts, to keep you awake. It's time. From ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello and into every bordello. That means we get everywhere. Oh, we go everywhere. This is called the return on a desk. It's a return. Why? To put it back and it'll come back. It'll return. My name is Frank Atolo. I told you that. And you know that because it's Y2K plus 17. And I am still moving along on the rockiest of all trails. That's trail called, of course, not the Hallelujah Trail, of course, is part of it, but your trail, your individual trail along the Hallelujah Trail is your life. And welcome to it. I have been continually working and doing things I need to do, trying to provide the world with great surprises, which will not happen. He says, you know, it's all in my mind. And I want you to remember this, too. It's all in your mind. I'm not saying that Joe Walsh was right, but sometimes I am saying it. Good old Joe. Sometimes I feel we're living a life of illusion. Speaking of illusion, Dr. Gary Popley, the professor who is the head of psychological behavior in the Maryland Institute of peanut butter and jelly. Yeah, you know, he's here. It's been a while. He's coming here. And I believe that of all the times we've had him on when we have all these podcasts, Skype problems, I believe this is going to work perfectly because the doctor is in the house. So you know what to do do I have to go through the whole thing? I will too. Don't make me do it. Yes, you do want to make me do it. The third man, me, Frank Atolo, is here. And if you're listening, you hear me. If you listen, if you're listening live or you're listening on a station that also carries Savino Veritas, that is the greatest alternative broadcasting. I like that. I said alt broadcasting. Altcasting, maybe we should call it. I'm just trying to get into all this garbage, but you can't. You can't do it. You know, no matter what happens, you can't let it drive you crazy at the same time. You can't get into it because it's hilarious. And it continues to be hilarious. I'll tell you what else is hilarious. You know, I was sitting here during the show that comes on before this one on SRN, moving along, trying to get, it's been forever since I had a splinter. And I have one now, and it doesn't look wood. It looks metal. And you're saying, what does that mean? You know, can you even distinguish the color of something so small as a splinter? But after a while, and you should do this, you know, I don't think this is a part of my age because this has always been the way things have been with me. And that is that one thing ignites, one thought ignites another, ignites another, ignites another. Memories come into play. All sorts of things happen that ignite emotions. We're going to talk to Gary about this. Excuse me, the doctor. We're going to talk to the doctor about this. I'm sure there's new studies on that, but, you know, new studies on old people. No, I'm not old. I didn't mean it that way. But I mean that this has always happened to me. This is one of the reasons I do not feel as old as the number indicates. Indicates. No, the number's real. It's not indicating. The number should, as I thought, was going to be a completely different sensation, feeling, emotion. You know, but it's not. It's different. And I'm realizing that I'm just a more crafted, seasoned part of myself because, I'm finding out things, and this is not one of those, dementia things where you start to go backwards in your head or you remember things from a long time ago, but you don't remember like right now. That's not the case. This is piling up, which is why I always said, you know, I have a direct line to my subconscious that a lot of people have walls. And you break down those walls through psychology and all sorts of things. I don't have saloon doors. That's what I've always said, you know, and thoughts, sensations, feelings, all the things that the brain is calculating and, filing and archiving. That's the squeak. I can't get the squeak out of the saloon doors. These things seep through. If they seep, don't you seep through? You can't seep over, seep. These things get through. So. What did I have to do? Because I get a splinter, and I don't remember the last time I had a splinter. I do remember, I used to say to myself, geez, I'm nauseous. If I got nauseous, of course, I would say that to myself. I wouldn't convince, I would get nauseous, and I'd say, wow, when was the last time, I threw up? And you try to remember, you know? And that brings you back to a specific time, in this case, very bad. And it's still, do you know that I have not performed a vomit. Is that how you would put it? I think it sounds weird to say vomited, right? Doesn't that sound like it's incorrect? I've not performed a vomit or, let's just call a reversed paralysis. Yes, that's it. I've not had reversed peristalsis. I think that's it. Peristalsis or paralysis? No, not paralysis. I'm not paralyzed. Reverse peristalsis. Because peristalsis is the muscles bringing the stuff in you down to your stomach. Reverse peristalsis makes sense because it brings it back up again. Bringing it up, vomiting, okay, throw up. When I was a kid, nobody ever said vomit, by the way. See this, you see how these thoughts just keep moving on? No. So I get the splinter and, you know, I'm immediately pissed at myself because it's my fault that I got this. Why didn't I know to touch this thing, right? That it would be, and the funny thing, and there are funny things about even the greatest tragedies, ask Julius Caesar. While he's bleeding to death. And that is that, the funny things that go on is, you know, I blame myself for it. And then I'm like, well, what? I didn't have to get it because I didn't have to do what I did when I got it. But I decided to once again try to poison the groundhogs in Pennsylvania, by the way, especially since it's been so incredibly warm. Everybody's after that, Puck's a tawny guy, because he said 6 more weeks of winter, and we're walking around in shorts. I don't wear shorts, but other people are walking around. Other doofus magoos are walking around with the shorts and the top, or some people just have, I have a tank top underneath. Yeah, I haven't had a tank top on in a while. I have a regular short sleeve pullover t-shirt. Okay, so I didn't have to be doing this. Okay, but I'm poisoning. Poisoning, because they go for holes, and gophers live in those holes. They make these tunnels, and it's probably pretty complex, or they just don't. I've never been down there, so I don't know, and I've never seen an X-ray of a tunnel. So they talk about rabbit holes, you take it down a rabbit hole. They talk about a gopher hole. I think it's even more disgusting. These rodents are disgusting, and so I'm trying to poison them. Him and his pals. So I have some old macaroni and a three week old, at least at the very least a 3 week old meatball that's been sitting in the refrigerator with this macaroni. I'm not going to eat it anymore. So I'm looking. I say, you know what I do? I'll throw it down the hole. Now I don't want to fire in a hole. I don't want to throw it down the hole and feed them. I want them to eat poison. Yeah, because I believe, and I don't have any proof of this either, that if a gopher, like almost anything else, eats something poisonous, they will start to, you guessed it, vomit. You see how this goes all the way around? They'll start to vomit and maybe vomit up a portion of themselves, poison themselves, or they'll get in the bloodstream, dead gopher. Okay? And believe it or not, as big and as bulky and as are these gophers, they're difficult to shoot. Don't tell me. I don't care if Peter calls up. I don't care if Peter, Paul, or Mary call up. I shoot at those bastards. And I think that they're hard to hit. You have to aim, I would say, and this is, you know, you have to judge this, like 5 feet in front of them, count to two and then shoot so that they run into the bullet. Cause you can't just get them and move. You know how difficult it is to shoot something while it's moving and you're moving? That's difficult. Don't, even if you see the beginning 20 minutes of The Revenant, you'll go, what the, how many people shooting it? You'll know that because it's, and those guys had to reload every, well, I had to reload too. Cause I don't have a big gun that has bullets. I have a pellet bullet. But the pellet's enough. The pellet with the poisons, in the rifle, that is perfect. And, okay, am I getting carried away here? The splinter. Okay, so I get the splinter while I'm putting the bag, I'm bending down, leaning over, looking down the hole, firing a hole, and I'm gonna put this meatball and pasta, I'm gonna shake it out of this little plastic bag right down the hole. Now, what I've put on the, in the mixture, okay, is the oil stuff that you light when you do the tiki lights. You know, tiki, you have tiki lights in the front, I have some tiki lights. You know those little, they're Hawaiian things, right? The tiki lights? You gotta put a special kind of tiki light oil in there. You light it and it lights up and you got the tiki lamps. So I found some of the tiki oil because I'm doing a massive cleanup around here. And I found the tiki oil. I said, you know what? I'll bet you, dollars to donuts, you buy the donuts, that if I get a groundhog, and you know, you're not going to get a groundhog by the neck and be able to shove this stuff down him. You're not going to be able to, you know, knock him out and then inject him with it, which would also, but I'm betting that there would be a coronary thrombosis along with the poison would cause coronary thrombosis because I believe that these big, ugly, hairy, useless, they're useless. I don't know what they do. Do they eat rodents? And that's why there's not a lot of rodents in here. I got news for you. I found little mice in this house. How do they get in the house? I live out in the rural area. Of course, they're always going to come in. I don't know, maybe there'd be more if it wasn't for the gophers, but there's so many gophers. I mean, how can you tell one gopher from another? I can't. He runs across the North 40 in the backyard. It's clearly an acre here. And surrounded by other acres. So it's not like, you know, it's a house or bricks or a house is made of bricks or a wood house or anything. And they dig down, it doesn't matter. You know, so I don't know one from another. And they'll look big. What happened? When do baby gophers come out? I don't know this. And I am not going to spend my life or any portion of my life going to Wikipedia gophers or any gopher.com or whatever the hell that you go to find out about gophers. I'm not going to do this. We all have a limited time on Earth. And we should not have to do these investigations. Just stop all of a sudden and do these investigations and take ourselves away. You know, this is a matter of priorities. So I'm thinking I will pour the poisonous macaroni and meatball into the gopher hole. And here's the rub. I will never know. I'm never going to know if he ate it and died. I've been doing this for years and I'm assuming that the gophers eat this stuff, whether it's that or paint. You know the paint cleaner that you use for cars? Holy crap, that's got to be poisonous. It's got instructions on the side. Should a drop of this get on your tongue, call the emergency room immediately. And, you know, get new blood. Go to the Keith Richards Blood Transfusion Institute or something. Because there's an incredible amount of poison in that stuff. And you would think that even a wild animal would die. Because, look, if you had a pet, a regular pet, a domestic pet, a dog, suppose you had a gopher as a pet. You can do that. People have hamsters. Hamsters, they're not wild animals. But anyway, you have this gopher. Do you think that he's developed an immunity to paint cleaner, car paint cleaner, or to paint wax, or to, is that what it's, car wax? Your liquid car wax, or the stuff, the cleaning fluids, or for that matter, tiki oil. I don't think so. I don't think. And yet, I don't know. I'm assuming. I have to assume they will die. And then, what do you think happens? This is what's stupid, because I think of this. It comes out of my subconscious, which says, look, Frank, the voice. If the gopher died, what do I think that, how does that change anything? There's a gopher community out there. There's acres upon acres, and underneath the acres, there could be tunnels. There's a community. There's families of, it's not like fox. And I've told my fox story. I'm not going to tell you here right now, but fox, which is the plural of fox, it's not foxes, right? Fox have families, and the lair of the fox changes. And they're literally families. There's baby fox, there's fob daddy fox, just like in the cartoon. So, but the gophers are gophers. Did I think for one second, for one moment, for one fleeting thought, that because one dies, the gopher language, one gopher says to another one, well, Ernie's dead. Ernie the golfer, Ernie the gopher's dead. And what happened to him? Is this really happening? Or is this just my kid being a cartoon? You see what I'm saying? I've always done this. This is my cartoon, all the crap that's coming out that's been archived. My subconscious doesn't know. It just shoots this stuff out. It spills it out. It doesn't even have to have a good segue from one thought to another. But do I think? Yes, I do. It suddenly comes to my mind. There's a dramatic situation. One gopher says to another gopher, Ernie's dead. Ernie has been poisoned. This is suddenly Shakespearean gopher world. And they go, you're kidding. Do you think it was an inside job? And they go, no, gophers don't. Look what happened to them. You don't get poisoned from just eating the junk. You don't eat, not even feces that they can eat, which happens to be out there from other critters. It's going to kill them. It doesn't happen. I don't think. I mean, I'm not an expert, like I said, on gophers. But what do I think? Do I think that one talks to another and says, well, you know what? He may have been poisoned by the person who tries to shoot us. And it's like, it could be. So then what? So we better get out of here. Let's not stay in this yard, in this area. Let's go to an area and dig another hole where nobody has any poison. And then one says to the other, you didn't eat any of that stuff, did you? What stuff? The stuff that was there all of a sudden in the hole. Don't ever eat stuff. And so do I think this is happening to having a conversation? Why do I humanize everything? It's personification. Do you do that? You personify, you talk to inanimate objects? Because I do, and I think it's sick. You talk to inanimate objects. And so so there I am again, without any proof that what I'm going to do is going to work for me in any possible way. And I get the splinter. Because there's a big pole there, a tree or something, and there's wire, and I, oh, damn, I go like that. And then the splinter thing. I can see I'm looking at it right now. I've already got and it's so close. I hate it when it's so close to coming out and it's in the odd place. Splinters. Rarely do you get a splinter like right where you can get access to it and do surgery. I've done surgery on many, many splinters in my life. Rarely do you do that, okay? But so this is like between a nail, the end of a nail in my left hand, And this is my ring finger in my left hand, and I'm looking at it right now, and I keep pointing it out. It's like, you know, I got a little, one of those super little screwdrivers, and what have I done? I burned it, because my parents always said, when you take out a splinter, sterilize the needle. And this is working as a needle, because I can't even find a needle. I can't even find a safety pin that I could open and do it. So I got to use this. What is this? It's a, where's the box? Here. You know, it's a set of precision Phillips screwdrivers. Really little devils. So I took the smallest one, I think. Yeah. Oh, well. In any event, in all events, and certainly in this event. So during the show, I may be picking this stuff out here. That's a splinter story and all the stuff that's going on. It's all, as I said, it's all just part of life out here. And it's no different. You could live, I've lived in cities. I've lived, with people surrounded by, houses with people in them, upstairs, downstairs. You know, it's the same thing. Life is just life. It's a clash. It's cruel. It's a clash. It's splashes of happiness and, fun and then sleep. A lot of sleep in life. I mean, 2/3 of your life. Is it 2/3 or 1/3? We'll ask Dr. Popoli. My name is Frank Cotullo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. This is Cotullo Chronicles. Y2K plus 17. We are here, and this week is here. And I think this is the last of February. February. Nobody ever says it right. In school, it was February. February. In English class, the teacher would say, it's February. It's February. No one could spell it. I want you to go buy the books. The books are available in digital form everywhere. Blurb.com for the Molotov Memoirs duet. You go to Amazon.com where you can get the funny stuff and serious stuff. Certainly Sweet Shepherd, the bestseller of all of them there. You can go to Lulu.com and you can get digital copies of some of those fun essays and short stories and stupid things that are just, you know, here and there. It just might, you know, lighten your life up to stop and read something. You know, the important thing is reading. I think reading is important. Even if you're reading about, studying. Gophers, whatever you do. Just remember, the interweb is filled with errors and weird stuff. So don't always believe everything you read there or anywhere for that matter. It's true. I've always said, even before this alt-right stuff started, there's always been, I said alternative broadcasting. It's always been alternative broadcasting. I didn't make that up. I always said that. I said it from the beginning. If you were here in the beginning, and if you weren't, why weren't you? I don't think I'm that difficult a historian, no matter what Dr. Futtenstein says. I do know that this is a monkey-piloted trip to the moon, and we're on our way. You get also 148.ca. /Frank, the 2017 blogs have begun, and there will be more than 52, 51, 50 or whatever. I'm already working on 2018. You know, a man has got to do what a man has got to do. So we're going to do that. So go there, 148.ca/Frank, and then whatever else is happening there. What else is coming on? Lots of things are going to be happening on this show over the course. I'm looking through this, but I don't. We'll do a bunch of stuff. Here comes Gary Popoli right here. He's ready to talk, and I think that's him right here. Is that him? Here we go again. Come on, I answered the phone. Oh, come.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Are you there?
You got me?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that's just checking because
I gotta turn your show off. Hold on.
Yeah. Turn off your phones.
Okay. How's that? Is that better?
It's the same. It's good. You're good.
Can you hear me? Okay.
I just don't want to hear me behind. Oh, I still hear me behind you. What are you doing? Turn it down. Turn your radio down. Okay, that's good. I don't hear me.
Is that better?
That's much better. I'm glad this worked out. When the moment I saw you, and of course,
I wouldn't be able to get on.
Well, I thought, you know, the chances were that there'd be a problem. And of course, you called me, even though I said I'd call you. But that's okay. It's all right.
Well, I just wanted to make sure, you know, because we have trouble with this occasionally. But listen, I just wanted to interject two things.
Go. Well, oh, you've been listening? So is there something?
Yeah, I've been listening, and I'm just wondering why in the beginning of the show were you throwing up all these topics?
I do this all the time. I tell you what's on my mind, And
no,
and
no, what, no. What? You were vomiting. And then,
Vomiting is. Is it
and
vomiting?
Then I wanted to tell you, you know who Tiger Woods and Arnold Palmer are? They're good golfers.
Yeah, I knew that was coming. I mentioned to everybody that that psychological behavior, that behavioral science humor that we only hear from Gary Popoli, we'll be hearing for the first time again this time around. Because here you are, it's 2017. Do you believe it's 2017?
No.
Isn't that weird?
No. Now listen,
okay,
forget the screwdrivers and all that with the splinter.
Yeah, what do I do?
All you have to do is wrap your hand and your finger in saran wrap, and when you wake up in the morning, it'll be gone.
What do I do? Do I get a nickel underneath my pillow too? Where did that come from, man, this thing?
No, I'm telling you, you just wrap your finger in saran wrap.
It's a joke.
And then it opens up your pores and it works the splinter out, and when you wake up in the morning, it'll be gone.
It's a good idea, because it's gotta be, I can also put it in steaming hot water, which would may loosen all the skin around it, right?
Right. You can also slice your finger right in half from the front back.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. But I have made my fingers bleed. But, you know, they always go there. And I didn't even end the story. Because, let me end the story here. The splinter story. Forget about the gophers. Here's the end of the splinter story. Because it had to do, and you'll like this, because it has to do with my mind. Has to do with what I remember, my childhood. Listen to this. I was telling my son this, too. I said, you know, I immediately get a splinter, I immediately hear my father. I get this emotion because of my father. Because my father used to say, you got to get that thing out. Because if there's a little splinter, right? You got to get that thing out, because if it gets into your bloodstream, it's going to travel right up to your brain,
your heart,
and heart, either one.
Right.
Did you ever hear that?
Yeah, I did. But listen,
how does a splinter get into your bloodstream if it's underneath a layer of skin?
Because you know you're developing new capillaries all the time, and so if it causes the blood flow to stop, you'll develop new capillaries. It'll get in the capillary, end up in your heart, get stuck in your aorta, and you have a stroke and die.
I got I gave up capillary growth a while ago. This is Dr. Lemmy. For those of you not listening, and I like that, for those of you not listening, for those of you who haven't listened in the past, and God knows why you haven't, Professor Dr. Gary Popoli. Gary is, and I've asked you this before, Gary is a first name, isn't it? Or it's not Garello or Garoli, right?
No, it's Gary.
That's a weird first name.
Yeah, great, thanks. And,
well, I mean, it's just like Gary, like Larry is Lawrence. Gary's not Garance, right? It's Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Joe is Joseph, you know, but Gary's Gary. Doesn't sound like a... Gary is, of course, the professor and leading psychologist at the Maryland Memorial Institute for.
Listen, all my students are listening.
I love your students.
They're from Stevenson.
And I want to tell you, Stevenson. They're from Stevenson, Maryland. No, they're from
Stevenson University.
And now the Stevenson University alma mater song. No, I don't know it. Do you know? Do they have a song? Do they have a football team? Do they have a song for the football team?
I have no idea.
Okay, so in Stevenson, if you're ever in town, if you're ever in Maryland, please drop by Stevenson, say, where's Dr. Popoli? And as for Dr. Popoli's students, there is no reason why you only come here when he's on the show, all right? You shouldn't be texting and driving. You should be listening every week. Okay, so... And for those of you who can't listen every week, you go find out the other stations where we are during the week, because we're on a lot, and or go to juicedtalk.com, and you can get archives there. You can download them, upload them, and throw them out, do whatever you want with them. Now, Dr. Popoli hasn't been around for a while. He's going to tell us about some real new things that are, right? You got some new studies and things going on, right?
Ever. Yeah, first, look. Also, my students, I told them I'd give them extra credit if they're listening, because I'm going to give the buzzword later.
Okay, good. So keep listening.
Remind me to give the buzzword.
I'm going to write down here. Buzzword. Okay.
Yeah,
so what's new in the world of researching how we behave, why we behave, and what we do? And, you know, it's really disconcerting to find out that you agree with my father. Now I'm going to, that this thing may get into my bloodstream.
Well, not only that, you know, when you use a rusty screwdriver, to get it out. Then you end up with rabies. Then you can actually communicate with and you can actually socialize with the gophers and the raccoons.
I know a dog named Rusty who got rabies. Go on. Let's hear what's going on in your world. And students, stay tuned. And if it gets disconnected, reconnect it. You got these smartphones. You know how they work. This is magic. Use them. Gary, we're going to talk about some of this stuff.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. And listen, do you have an iPhone?
No.
Okay, because I want to know what the I stands for. Nobody knows.
You know, yeah, I do. I do. Listen, everything in the digital platforms, okay, is personalized. We all know that, right? That's why there's things like it's you, YouTube, iPhone, it's my phone, right? It's I have the phone. iPod, my pod. You, there's a lot of U's and I's. There's no we's. There's no we, there's no I. This is my personal thing.
Is this why the level of illiteracy is becoming higher and higher?
Is it?
It wouldn't be iPhone, it would be my phone.
Well, there used to be MySpace, remember? Before there was Facebook?
Right.
Yeah,
and
my.
Then they got rid of that for
possessive
for Facebook.
Well, they didn't get rid of that for Facebook. They got rid of it because News Corp bought it. And News Corp, which is Fox News and all, you know, Rupert Murdoch and all that.
Yeah.
They just ran it right into the ground. They thought they had this gigantic investment. They were wrong. And then along came Zuckerman, and he made Facebook, and everybody ran over there.
Right.
But listen, we're not here for the history of the internet, by the way, is 26 years old this year. And if you go to my blog, you'll find out. Listen, go ahead. Tell us what's new. What's the latest thing?
Let's start off with something.
What's the latest thing?
Have you ever noticed that for some reason, people, when you ask them things like, you know, what are you afraid of? Right. Or, you know, they always mention spiders.
Yeah, spiders are big.
Spiders.
Yeah, spiders.
I'm scared to death of spiders. Spiders.
Yeah.
If there's a spider in the house, you know, they jump up on the bed and they start doing this dance, and you know, because the spider's going to—I don't know—for some reason, I think the spider's just going to all of a sudden become 45 times its size, and jump on you.
I know one thing: there's thousands of species of spiders. Did you know that? And I want to tell you this. Here's another thing for you people who are afraid of spiders, because a exterminator who goes around the house told me this. No human is ever more than 4 feet from a spider. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. They are everywhere, every size, every shape. Now tell us what about people being scared of them.
Okay. So some research has been done recently with gorillas.
Like
pictures.
You're never more than two continents away from a gorilla.
And guess what the results were? That we're not really inherently afraid of spiders. We're inherently afraid of snakes.
More of the snakes than
through the evolution. It seems as though snakes are the thing that we dread the most, because given pictures of both, people turned off more or scared more by the pictures of the snakes than they are the spiders.
So they have an emotional, and I have a visceral reaction. Is that it?
Yes, and the other thing too is, speaking of spiders, you know, we couldn't live on the earth without spiders.
Speaking of spiders, by the way, is the name of my new book. So go out and go ahead. Go ahead.
All spiders, is it true all spiders have 8 legs?
I guess, yeah, because they're anthropods. What kind of pods are they? Acronopods. Acrinopods.
Arachnids.
Huh?
Arachnids.
Arachnid. Yeah, they're arachnids. what did I say? Arachnopod? Arachnopod? What's an arachnopod? It's like an iPod.
That's something. All right.
It's an iPod for a spider.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's another thing that I want to get this perfectly clear. When it comes to health, and I tell my students this, see, first of all, my students, if they're listening, they know that I have already given them 450 pieces of fantastic advice and they've taken none of it.
Why?
Well, it's because there's this phenomenon known as adolescent egocentrism. And what that means is even if I give them great advice, they're not going to take it because they think I'm out of touch with what I'm saying.
Do they? Why would they think that? You speak with them. You're there. You teach them things. Why would they think you're not with
it? Because their prefrontal cortex is not fully developed yet.
Oh.
And so they make decisions on their own, which are usually bad decisions and risky decisions. And when you give them good advice, there's very little chance they'll take it.
What did you say it was? 25, 28? When does that mature?
Around 30.
Okay.
29 to 30.
See, I listen to you because I remember that.
Right, right. So anyway, one of the things that I tell them is that I told them this today because it was the topic we've talked about today in my intro class. There is absolutely nothing better for your health than 8.5 hours of sleep a day.
You know,
the literature is overwhelming.
Yeah.
The evidence is overwhelming. The scientific proof is overwhelming that if you sleep 8.5 hours a day, you will be the healthiest, most efficient, most cognitively astute person that you're ever going to be.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could understand or find out, if we could discover that that was the case, that was even the case in the days of, early man, or when Martha jumped out of the tree. What was her name? The original, what was her name? The one who decided to be walk on her back legs, and that started it. I know she had it was a girl name. They found
Rapunzel.
No.
Listen.
Here's the point. The point I'm trying to make is, wouldn't it be wonderful to find out that early man, Neanderthal men were dying at a biblical rate even before there were biblical rates because there was no Bible. It wouldn't it be amazing to find out that they were dying because they only got like 5 hours sleep? And it wasn't the saber-toothed tigers.
Well, how come life expectancy was only 30?
It wasn't, was it? I bet you it was even, do we know how old, when we find the bones of, Clyde, do we know how old he was when he died? We know a lot of things now.
I'm sure we do within about 5,000 years.
Wouldn't it also be amazing?
5,000 years.
And to find out that he was more scared of spiders than snakes.
No, snakes.
No, he was fine. No, we find out it was the opposite. Wouldn't that be something? We can't find out any of that stuff. Just like I don't know what happens if the gopher dies. I don't know. But go ahead.
You don't know what?
I don't know if the gopher dies. I don't know if he dies because he ate.
You know. I can't believe that you would even want to kill the gopher.
I want to kill them all. I want him, even that Punxsutawney jerk. I want him out of here. But go ahead.
Okay. So anyway, the whole importance of sleep, right?
Yes, I've heard that.
Okay. So now, because of the overwhelming data, the overwhelming scientific evidence of how great sleep is and how not getting enough sleep is actually so detrimental for your health, there is this new theory, I should say, that lack of sleep is actually one of the leading causes of depression. And so what psychologists are now doing is they have come up with a form of psychotherapy. The most popular psychotherapy today is called CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. Uh-huh. But they've actually come up with this cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. In order to get, and it's specifically geared towards youth and adolescents, to get them to sleep because the evidence is so overwhelming about how much that will improve their lives if they do it.
What is there? Has there ever been one or two things that have been studied and agreed upon are the reason why some people just don't sleep? I mean, why there's like, you're 3 hours, I can't sleep. What? Why? Is there something going on subconsciously that's that they need to settle or what?
Okay. Well, there are theories of that.
Yeah,
one
I know.
One is anxiety. So if something is actually causing you to be anxious, there's a very good chance you're going to have a difficult time sleeping. because your body's not going to be producing the chemicals it needs to go to sleep. It's going to be producing the chemicals, such as adrenaline and all that, to keep you on your toes because you're anxious. So then you can't go to sleep and you can't relax.
The body creates chemicals that help you sleep?
Yeah, serotonin.
Oh, that was the name of the monkey who came, serotonin. I think that was the name of the monkey that came out of the tree and said, the hell with this crap. I'm walking on these two legs.
Was it a female monkey?
Yes, it was.
It's named serotonin.
You know, you laugh at me, but there is a name. They gave her a name, and she has a name, Katie Catherine or something like
You're not talking about a Bao Bao, are you?
No, that's not a monkey. Bao Bao's a panda. I don't know much about pandas either. Do you?
No, I don't know anything.
So there's chemicals. So the serotonin, the body create. Now, when you rest, when you lay down to rest, or when you're tired, the body immediately goes, all right, time to create.
Well, the reason you're feeling tired is because your brain is starting to produce serotonin. That particular neurotransmitter slows down your body functions, and you sleep.
So the brain gets tired of working?
Exactly. And it needs to rest. Mm-hmm. So it creates its own chemicals telling it that it's time to rest.
Okay, but hold it right there. The brain never really rests, because when you go to sleep, the subconscious is still moving around. It doesn't stop. It doesn't go to sleep. It starts shooting out all these ridiculous things, and you're laying there, and suddenly there's an elephant in your ear, and you're on the Nile, and you're being attacked, or you're not, or someone's jumping on you, or there's a weird creature. You know what I'm saying? That it's still working. There's still stuff going on. Right?
Yeah, well, if you have a visual of the Nile, then you would be senile. But listen, here's the other thing.
You know, I leave those spots so that the people who have been taught by you can just sit back and laugh.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. I told my class this. You sleep one-third of your life.
That was it. One third. Okay, fine.
You sleep one third of your life.
Wait a second. It's one third for the sleep and two thirds for water on Earth, right? I get those confused.
And if you have a bed that's full of snakes, you can't sleep.
Yeah, they made that one of the great conceits of the character Indiana Jones. Remember, the one thing he was afraid was snakes drove him nuts. That was his conceit. Go ahead, tell us more.
Were there any Joneses from other states?
Who? What?
Were there any Joneses that came from other states?
Yes, there was Mississippi Jones. There was Mississippi Jones. He was
okay. He helped. I've never met Marilyn Jones.
He helped create the blues.
All right. So anyway, getting back to this.
There's Alex Jones. You like him, right?
He's your pal. The other thing that I wanted to tell you, noticed you're using this word quite frequently,
what?
Subconscious.
Yeah, I know I do.
And actually, you know, in his later writings, Freud said that there was really no such thing as subconscious, that it was either conscious or unconscious, that there's not a part of the unconscious that is subconscious. If it's subconscious, it's unconscious.
Okay, so we can call it the unconscious.
This is according to Freud now. The whole conscious system is dichotomous. It's either conscious or unconscious.
Okay.
So no subconscious.
Okay.
Okay.
Did you ever hear of Dr. Gerald Edelman?
No, isn't that the guy that plays for the New England Patriots?
I knew that was going to happen. I knew that was coming. The second I get serious, he decides to be the I got to be the straight man. See?
No, I don't know who he is.
Okay, I once did a show here on this guy, Dr. Gerald Edelman. He was what did he do? The immensity of Dr. Edelman's project. This goes back to, this is many years ago I did this show. He explaining development of the human mind. His ideas about how consciousness arises from the firings of neurons begin to seem eminently plausible because something similar seems to be happening in the hum and current of your own brain. This was a great show. He never was able to get a hold of him. He's at the Neuroscience Institute. I was going to do this show again. I'll find it. He said, this guy is great.
Yeah, but yeah,
I
but
thought maybe the brain will always have more going on than seems necessary, he said.
Well, that's old news, though.
Oh, okay.
So is this whole, you know, misconception that we only use 10% of our brain.
We don't. It's 3%. 10 is nuts.
It's 100%.
We do not.
It's all connected. You know, it's like if you have an extension cord and you plug it in, right? It doesn't matter if the extension cord is 100 feet or 500 feet. When you plug it in, you use the whole extension cord. When you plug something in the other end, it works.
But if you put a knot in it along the way, it doesn't a big bubble come out and it all gets stuck there? Like in a cartoon? Well, I think you bring up something that's fascinating. And of course, I was talking about bringing up things when I was talking about vomiting. But is it reversed peristalsis? Right? Isn't it?
I don't.
Oh, you don't know that? The doctor doesn't know?
No, I have to say that that's one topic that I have not studied in depth.
Peristalsis is okay. So anyway, let's go back to this. So you're saying that, that's one of those urban, it's like an urban legend thing.
Yeah. I don't
know. It's not science. There's no science to it at all.
I'm sure there are plenty of people that would disagree with me, but I don't like the whole idea of subconscious.
Oh, you don't like it. You don't like it. So therefore, I thought we were doing science here.
Well, yeah, but you know, in this day and age, there are many, many anti-Freudians. So as soon as you bring up Freud, you know, people right away hate him and, you know, he's old-fashioned, antiquated, he didn't know what he was talking. So.
Yeah, but meanwhile, if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't have been doing anything.
Right, I mean, the guy was a genius.
Well, so was Dr. Gerald Edelman, but we'll talk about him on another show. Go ahead. Tell us more about what we...
All right. I got enough. Now, I already told one of my classes this, but I'm going to tell you...
Don't forget the buzzword.
And everybody else that's listening.
Don't forget the buzzword.
If I were to... No, not yet.
Okay.
If I were to ask you, what do you think of video games, violent video games? Do you think that they make... adolescents more violent or more civic?
You know, I did a program on this. Not a program, because I don't do programs. That means they're set up. I don't. I just do them. I did a show once on this, and what I did was I compared it to the 50s, where kids didn't have those games, but we did play and recreate and do violent things. And, you know, we acted it out. We role-playing, and... Just because the Lone Ranger shot men and no blood came out, it didn't mean it wasn't violent. He was killing people. We were a violent, kids are violent in a sense by nature, and it's an adventure to them because they're not really dying or what have you. So I don't think there's anything, I don't think it's a lot different from that. When I was playing, we played swords, we played knights, people died, we threw people into bushes. They were like, you know, We did. There was this Italian guy on my street. He used to pick kids up over his head and throw them into the bushes. And we did these very violent things playing, you know, and even sports was, we played street hockey. There's nothing more, no violent than that. So I don't know. I can't understand what the difference would be other than the fact that we got a lot more exercise doing that than people who were playing a virtual game. Now you tell me what you think.
Okay. Well, here's something that, you know, you hear people all the time say, well, you know, these adolescents play these violent video games, and that's why we're seeing all this violence and cyberbullying and all that. Well, this study came out about 6 months ago, actually proved the exact opposite.
Good, because I think
And it showed that by the adolescents and young adults playing these video games, they actually exhibited more civic behaviors and not antisocial behaviors. Now, whether that's because they get their frustrations out or they realize that, you know, something like that is extremely violent. So then when they're around real people, they're more civic, but it's for most people, it's the opposite of what you would think. You would think that these violent video games make adolescents and young adults violent. This particular study says, no, it's just the opposite.
Here's why I would agree with that. Because if that were the case, then wouldn't there be an awful lot more violence by kids? Because wouldn't there? Wouldn't it be there? Wouldn't kids be literally? If they were playing out that kind of violence. Besides, how could they? Have you ever played those games? How do you play out that kind of violence? Unless you get real automatic weapons and bombs, and I mean that's pretty graphic and widespread. Yeah,
but we also can't get a measure on things like cyberbullying and teasing at school and aggressive behavior on buses.
Listen to me, Frank Cotolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show, this Cotolo Chronicles, Dr. Popoli's was, and that is that I grew up in an urban area where this stuff was common. Bullying was common. But kids getting, and I was talking about this to a friend the other day again because I was remembering some of the kids, how cruel kids were to one another. How nicknames were accurately given to people. And they never addressed these certain people by their names. There was a kid, and I'll mention his name. I don't know if he's dead or not. If he isn't, he could call me up, and I've talked about him before. His name was Gary Manfredi. He lived in Brooklyn. Now, listen to this. For some reason, he was one of those kids with the big lips that were always moist. You know those kinds? You probably run into them. And we're talking like being 10, 11, 12 years old. And the thing is that the kid, here's the nickname they gave the kid. And it was unbelievably so perfect. They called him Mammal. Okay, not animal, not a specific animal, because we had specific animals. We had turtle. And these guys looked and they were perfect. These were the perfect, you could not dispute these nicknames. This is cruel. It is turtle. And the guy would just have to accept it, because nobody's going to call him Victor. His name is Victor, he's turtle. That's turtle. And there's the mammal. Sometimes the mammal, sometimes mammal. A mammal. That was Gary Manfredi, who, and he was a mammal. I don't even understand why it fits so well, but they all fit well, and they were perfect. That's cruel. And they used to taunt these kids it was unbelievable. So you're going to tell me that's any different than, except the kids didn't go and kill themselves or do anything. They accepted it, moved on. And maybe that is urban.
Yeah, but let me put this in perspective.
Good.
Okay. How many guys are we talking about that you were hanging around?
this was the way of life in Brooklyn of kids growing up.
So let's just say 50. 50 guys knew Turtle.
But listen, Brooklyn was the fourth and still is the fourth largest city in the world. There were neighborhoods, tribes, there were people, everybody, they would call people, they would say like, even people you don't know, they would say, hey, Squeeze Nose. Squeeze, like a kid had a funny nose, so they called him Squeeze Nose or whatever, right? And they didn't even know him. Someone else said, who's that? Who's that kid who lives over there in that other block and that with those other kids at Squeeze Nose? So you can't tell me that it didn't happen. It happened to everyone, everywhere.
But listen, but wait. You.
These are millions of kids walking around with nom de plumes that are cruel. Go ahead.
but here's my point.
Go ahead.
Let's just say 50 people knew Turtle and Squeeze Nose.
Yeah.
Right? Well, you tease them, you bully them, and I think a lot of it was done kind of in a lighthearted
sort of
a comical way or whatever.
No, it wasn't. It was cruel. It was cruel. They would hit these kids too. They would throw things at, it was just part of the whole culture. Go ahead.
But if something like that happens nowadays, in 4 minutes, it's on Facebook and it's sent to, 12,000 people. So, if for some reason, someone, does something in school that's a 100% accident.
The numbers matter?
They slip and bang their head on the chalk ledge. Well, you can guarantee that the entire East Coast is going to know about it within 12 minutes.
No. You can guarantee that the availability for many people to know it will be there. But do you think for a second that people are just sitting there? We never know how many people see this crap.
Well, I can tell you, my students would immediately get on their phones, get on Facebook. They would be laughing. They would be texting.
I know, but does that mean that people who don't even know them, hundreds of thousands of people who don't even know them, would go, look at this jerk? I know things go viral and stuff like that, but that's, you know, that's just a funny thing. In other words, just because it's available, this is the same thing. This is a big thing that happened with the internet early on. People thought, you know, if I get on the internet, I am now on the theater of the world, because anybody can read what I write. Anybody can see what I do. But you know what? 99.9% of the other people are doing that. They're not looking for you. They don't go looking. There's no audience. Everybody performs on the internet. So if you're saying like, oh, geez, look at the turtle. They just put a thing and they put a thing on his head and whatever like that. And so therefore what? Who's seeing it? How many people are seeing it? They don't even know demographics on the internet. You see, I don't know about this, what you're saying. I don't know why kids are taking this also so incredibly weird. You know why it is? I think I know why. It's because today they make kids win. They send them out to a baseball game and they go, you're the team that wins and so's the other team. And they make them play bat ball, the ball with the, they don't even pitch the ball at them. Maybe it's because they treated these kids, you should know this. Maybe it's because there's a generation out there that's been treated mushed up.
All right.
I don't mean to attack you.
Well,
I think
the whole social media thing is out of hand, and it can be extremely damaging to a person's.
But why? Why don't we do a study as to why? Don't people understand that if you put a picture, you know, I heard a great comedian say this. I'm going to tell you this, and you'll love this. He said, the moment. That man realized he could put a picture of his penis on the internet. He did it. The moment he said, what? You could put a picture of your penis on the internet? I'm going. I'm doing it. It's like immediately running to do it because there's something, he's just attracted to the absurdity of being in this theater, this world theater. Why do children, they should do a study on why do children or kids, or growing up kids, they're like, oh, my picture's on the internet and they called me a bubble brain. Now my whole life is ruined. When there might be 7 people looking at it. How do we know millions of people are looking at it? Why is there an illusion? This is an illusion.
Now, wait a minute.
Time's up.
Wait, let me ask you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, I don't think you're going to be able to answer this.
I won't.
In a very honest sort of way. But let's just suppose somebody calls you up tonight and said, Frank, did you see what was on the internet about you? You say, no, what was it? You say, well, this thing on the internet says that
I'm a Nazi.
You ate a spider.
They put a Nazi swastika around my head.
You say, well, I didn't do that. I said, yeah, but everybody says you did.
Okay, you know what I would say to that person?
Now your phone's ringing off the hook.
No, you're making up a scenario that doesn't happen. If somebody calls me and says that, you go, who? Who? Name the people that saw it or they're getting nuts about it. And then you go and your phone's ringing off the hook. I got news for you. These kids are probably getting upset by one phone call and that person's going, yeah, now everybody knows. But are the kids saying like, who's everybody? 2 people? 3 people? 9 people? Do they know in Asia? Do they know in Japan? What?
Yeah, they do.
No, they don't, because they don't see it. And it changes so quickly, it doesn't even mean anything. There's no value to it. I'm telling you, I'm sticking by this one. I don't care how many times you've gone to school and have passed tests. I'm telling you, they're wrong.
Okay.
They're all wrong. Right.
So weird. So then, let me ask you this.
What?
Why would a young girl who looks on the internet and sees something, you know, that somebody is now dating her boyfriend and her boyfriend no longer likes her or whatever and gets bullied for a week, why would she go home and
kill herself?
Kill herself.
Well, because I think maybe she would have some kind of shame issues. Isn't there something Freudian here? Shouldn't people?
See, that's my point. My point is,
shouldn't people?
If it weren't on the internet, she probably wouldn't have done that. But because the only thing that you can imagine that there are thousands and thousands of people that now know it and see it and are going to tease you about it when you go to school and you just can't fathom the thought of doing it. And so you think there's no out.
Well, the issue is why the person feels that way. Why doesn't the person say, wait a second, perhaps, just perhaps, not everyone in the world has seen this, and nobody's going to look at me and point at me. In other words, in your development, aren't parents teaching kids that, you know, that it's cruel and things are going to happen like that and it's not the end of the world? And you know who said that? Who was it? I think I forgot who it was. Recently.
Yes, but see, okay. Hold it. This gets back to my point.
Okay. It's time. Okay. We're going to second hour. Everybody stay with us. This is Cotolo Chronicles. Go ahead.
Okay. And so you bring up a good point.
Good.
Remember I started telling you at the beginning of the show that I could give my students all of this great advice and they're not going to take it.
Right.
Parents can tell their adolescents that this is not a big deal. It'll blow over. It's not anything that you need to be with. They're not going to believe them.
Why don't they walk them through it? Why don't they just say that? Why don't they walk them through it?
Because
they don't know either. Because they're idiots.
They're out of touch.
Yeah, because they're out of touch. You bet they're out of touch. That's right, because they're old people. They're people my age, and this is why I hate my generation, because they're stupid. Because they sit there and go, usually, you know, even the music was better. Now you got this social. It's like, stop the comparisons and walk the kids through it. It's not the end of the world. This is where they live. These are the things they have. These are the tools they have. You had different tools. You had different stuff, and all the same feelings were there. My golly, I'm telling you, I'm on a crusade for this. And I know,
but I'm trying to explain the psychology of it and why you can do that all you want and it doesn't help.
Because of their lobes, their frontal lobes?
It could be evolution. It could be, you know, their brains are different now. They're wired. We didn't have social media. You and I never experienced the thinking that, you know, 10,000 people were knowing every one of our intimate secrets. We didn't have to deal with any of that. You know, if somebody came up to you and said, hey, here's what I heard about you, and you didn't like it, you'd probably just hit them right in the nose. Well, this, you'd have to hit 10,000 people in the nose because now they all know it.
Yeah, but I don't know where these numbers, seriously, where are these numbers coming from? How do you prove that 10,000 people saw this thing? I mean, do you know how quickly this stuff changes? Do you know how quickly you try to follow Twitter? If you have 100 followers and they have 100 followers, it's like this is just going by like this. Click, 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 click.
12 new tweets, 17 new tweets.
Facebook, it could stay on there for days.
No, yeah, and but so it goes. It moves.
If person number one has 200 friends, those 200 know it. If person number two has 200 friends,
no, they might have missed it. No,
so now 400.
No, they might have missed it.
Each one of those has 100 friends. That's 40,000 people.
No, because you're just giving me a scenario where that might be true. You're not telling me that they did that. They said like, look, we found out that someone took a picture of this girl's dress. And by golly, by the end of the day, not only did her friends know it, but Mark Zuckerberg himself knew it. And they were all looking at it. It's like, come on, there's billions of these things. They're all over the place. And how do we know who's seeing them? How?
Because everybody calls you up that you know and says, I saw this on the internet about you.
Yeah, well, I don't think everybody does.
And so they say, well, if you saw it, then this person saw it, and this person saw it, and this person saw it. And even if it's not true, it still creates a tremendous amount of anxiety.
Yes, this is neurosis, isn't it?
It is.
Yes. Okay. Right. Then there you go. So now we're coming back to that. It's neurosis. And it's happened even before there was a social network. If someone did something in secret and his friend found out and said, oh my God, you're not going to say anything, this person's going to be anxious and neurotic and react as if what you're saying happened. And that's going to be a detriment to them and the rest of their lives. But it's not proven. Why don't parents, why doesn't anybody tell these people this? Why is it such a big deal? If it's not a big deal,
well,
it's mathematics,
you can tell
doctor.
Them that it's not a big deal. They're not going to believe you.
They could show you. And now maybe they won't believe. Okay, so then you tell me. Then this is just another another stimulus for neurosis. Okay, so then how do you deal with neurosis, period? Isn't that it? It's nothing new.
Well, you see, when something is out of control and something is now a part of everybody's life, say Facebook, for example,
right.
There's not a lot you can do about it.
But what was the difference?
There's only two things you can do. You can eliminate your Facebook page and never get on social media again. Or you can try to rectify the situation and get on there and send us something out to everybody saying, this really didn't happen.
Yeah. Or there's a problem solving here. And there's also a matter of when you're growing, of dealing with that shame or whatever it is, right? And
right.
Just telling people, look, if you think that's me, then the hell with you. I'm moving on. I mean, because people don't all have that particular attitude. People need people to want them and love them and stuff, right? Okay, fine. But aren't there ways to deal with neurosis?
There
sure.
are, but
okay.
Here's the thing. When you wake up the next day and you go to school, and now there's 20 people at school who are looking at you funny, won't even say hi to you, who normally do, now you're devastated.
Yeah, but the devastation itself is self-inflicted. It doesn't have to do with 20 people. Well, then it doesn't matter if it's 20,000 people. You're saying 20 people can do that. So what if 20 people find out, and it's not, there was no social media. That's happened.
Well, then I'm going to pull a Dr. Phil on you.
Remember when girls used to get pregnant, or they thought they were pregnant, and there was no social media and stuff like that, and it started to get around, or maybe it was a rumor, or these girls didn't all go out and kill themselves, even if they were pregnant. But it's the same thing. People were pointing and looking at it. Did you hear what I heard from this guy, from that? Because people weren't looking at their sources. They wanted to believe the worst.
Yeah, but
they're human.
I'm going to pull a Dr. Phil on you.
Please do.
Perception is reality.
Yes. Okay.
Even though you and I consider and know that that's not the case.
Yeah.
If they perceive it as being the case, then that's what you have to deal with.
And I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying that why is it different? Because they now think, I mean, people have killed themselves. You know, people have always used a long-term solution for a short-term problem, right? People have done that forever. For any reason they wanted to, there's something mechanically wrong with their emotional system that makes them just want to off themselves. But to connect it to social media, 20 people and 20,000 people, what is the perception? If I could put something on the internet, I have put something on the internet. I have done things, incredible stupid things. Even in the beginning, I was one of the most incredibly stupid people, but I was clever, but it was and I didn't get, where are the repercussions? I don't think as many people saw that as people I have known and told things. So why aren't we telling these kids these things? Why aren't they understanding? What makes a person think that if they put something on the internet, suddenly the world has seen it? The world doesn't give a crap.
Yeah, but it's perception.
Yeah, right, okay.
They perceive it.
Yeah.
All right. I got another.
I'm just saying that they perceive it. 20 people, 20,000.
Really,
all right, let's go.
Has to do with education. A study recently came out that says the more educated you are, the less likely you are going to be or experience cognitive decline in later years.
Okay, define now, cognitive decline.
So in terms of dementia, senility,
okay.
Inability to solve simple problems.
So the smarter you are.
So the more education you have.
Okay.
The greater the chance that will not happen to you.
Okay, that you won't get.
So it's just another benefit of education. And and I happen to agree with you 100% that reading is good for you. But that's another thing. And if my students are listening, they're probably laughing right now because.
They're laughing at me.
They don't read.
They're laughing at me. I'm going to tell everybody tomorrow what I said.
I tell them to read their books. They don't read them.
Why? What? Let me speak to these children for a second. Listen, kids. I've been through it. I've been through the ring. I've been through the gauntlet. Life is a gauntlet. You walk through it. They beat you. They hit you. But you read and you learn. And eventually you got to go through another gauntlet. And because of stuff you read, you're able to dodge, duck, dodge and hide. You get through it, man. So kids, listen, the next time you're in a classroom and Dr. Popoli is in front of you telling you things, just say, raise your hand, say, yes, Caroline, he'll say, Caroline, Caroline, yes, Dr. Popoli, yes, I just want to say that I heard Frank Cotolo say that stuff, and I thoroughly agree with him, and I think he's great. Now, just say that, and Dr. Popoli will give you a buck or something.
I'll know. Give him an A.
Give him an A. So, yeah. Okay, I think that I agree with that, too. I just think you could, and there's so many easy ways and fun ways to educate, isn't there? It shouldn't be a chore, right?
No, yeah, listen, I agree with you. Yeah. Look, remember you and I, if we had to do a paper or we had to look something up, we had to find a way to the library.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
We had to go inside. We had to talk to the librarian, find out where the books were, you know, spend 10 cents or, you know, for every page we wanted to Xerox, you know, and then come out when it's dark and catch a bus and go home. Now, you can get on your phone and read whatever you want to read.
And because they have such a powerful tool, they should use it with responsibility. And, you know, because everything that's, you know, there was a time when anybody believed, if somebody just wrote something down, people would believe that because they would say, you know, if he took the time to actually write this down and do that, it must be true. That's the same thing that goes on with people and that stuff, right? I mean, just because you have the tool, why don't you look at one or two, don't just look at one place and take it for granted, right? Look around, find out what you need to know.
This is what we try to instill nowadays. It's critical thinking.
Yes.
So you have to, you can't just assume that since it's printed that it's truth.
But that's nothing new. That's
something new. You investigate it. You know, you're always going to be able to find data that refutes what you think is true. And then you have to make a decision of which ones you think is correct. But you can only do that after you know the evidence of both.
And books. There were books out there that were filled with, you know, just because things were in the fiction section doesn't mean that people didn't believe in them, didn't read them and go, oh, my God, look what this guy does in this book, you know? So there was always the chance that somebody was going to accept a fact, which wasn't a fact. I was going to accept something as a fact if they read it or saw it on TV. So social media, this is just another way that people can mislead themselves. Just another way. Now, granted, you're right, then maybe it's too crowded. The whole idea, the whole input situation, the territory of input, it may be too crowded. And people are just, and people move around too quickly and they don't take time, even if they don't have to go to the library or, you know, make the effort to go somewhere and do something. Maybe they should spend that time investigating what it is they need to know and be critically thinking of it. Anyways, just what I said.
You agree with that? What do you think would happen?
Oh, here goes another one.
What do you think would happen?
Yeah, Dr. Phil told me. What? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Do you think
he doesn't even talk like that, right? He doesn't talk like that. Go ahead. Talk like
that. What do you think would happen?
I'm going to do my Dr. Phil. Go ahead, what?
Tomorrow, you wake up and there's a news bulletin that somehow somebody was able to, you know, a cyber hack every cell phone tower in the U.S. And so for the next 6 months, your cell phone is not going to work.
I told you, I don't have a smartphone. I don't even have one. It doesn't affect me because that's not a big part of my life.
I'm saying, but what do you think would happen to the younger generation? I think that there would be mass chaos.
I think so. I think to a certain extent, because I do agree with you that they might be too dependent upon that as a, you know, it's kind of like it's an intellectual appendage to them. And that I don't think is very good, but that's what they're growing. That's what they have to cope. These are things that with which they need to cope because this is their lives, right?
Yeah. And okay. Now let me address that.
Go.
I think intellectually we know that what's important is you have to cope with things.
Yeah.
However, to tell someone, oh, just cope with it, that's not an easy thing to do because not everyone has been subjected to, taught, or experienced coping mechanisms throughout their life.
Man.
So as soon as a situation arises where they need to cope, they can't.
Yeah.
So it's a lot easier said than done, cope with it.
Well, I'm not saying to say that. I'm saying, why don't we teach, it's my generation again, those sons of bitches, all they want to do is go back to Woodstock and go, hey, Jimi Hendrix, man! You know, and escape. I took drugs, I understand it. Okay, it's great, but you know? I'm telling you. I don't know why aren't there courses? Why aren't, and is this the job of parents? I don't know. Is it? And look at parents. Boy, they screwed.
It could be.
Most of them are screwed up too, right?
Well, it could be, right. And it could be that, you know, not all parents are actually involved in their children's lives, especially when they become adolescents.
So we really do come down to human behavior, in a very, I mean, all the answers to these particular problems, whether they're new, whether they're millennial problems or they're centurion problems or whatever they are. I made up that word, by the way, centurion. I have no idea what it means, but you know what I mean. I'm like, they're millennial, premillennial.
Is that like postmodern?
Yeah. Well,
whatever?
Yeah. Well, that's different. That's real. But neo postmodernism is true. Listen. So maybe, and this is guys like you should be doing this, teaching people in classes, right? That human behavior, takes, and you know as well as I do, because we talk about this stuff when we talk about gambling. We talk about this, right? We talk about this stuff and how the, how visceral it becomes and how we use our emotions instead of our intellect to guide us to do things that are smart, and that even the smartest thing in the world you could do could result in a failure, right? Why don't we teach people these things? By golly, what are we doing?
That's because we have a natural instinct to succeed. And so the last thing we want to do is fail, so we don't even think of what it's going to be like if we fail.
Well, why don't we teach people what I learned, Lonely, and that failure is, and boy, God knows I've had my failures, and I, you can't, you know, you've got to learn to be resilient. Resilience is the trait. I don't know if the trait is the right word. Resilience is the, element that we need to all have, right?
Why don't guess who has it the most?
Teach? Oh no, I don't know. Has there been a study on resilience?
Yes, children.
Unbelievable! Isn't that
children
something?
Children are the most resilient
because they are not tainted. They're not. You know why? Because once they start getting involved with older people, they get screwed up. Think about it. There's something brilliantly pure and wonderful about innocence, and that's stupidity, not education. So therefore, that ruins the other thing. So they, if you're bright and you know what you're doing and you zoom through life, you're just going to get dementia anyway because you're not educated. It's a vicious cycle, I tell you.
Okay.
How about a buzzword? Is it buzzword time?
Yeah, it is buzzword time.
Okay. My student, listen, student, let me ask you a question. What do most of these students that you have, are they studying what you teach as a major subject, or are they required to take this even if they're like studying engineering or graphic design?
Well, they have to take, most of my students are nursing students.
Nursing?
Yes.
Oh.
And so, you know, they have to take, and again, I don't know, I don't work in, curriculum or whatever, but they have to take certain electives. So when it comes to intro psych, I believe that they can either take intro psych or sociology, and then they have to take another social science, and so they usually take human development across the lifespan. Now, that's as far as I know.
Mm. Well, nurses are way different than they used to be, and I know that even from recent experience. I was shocked having a stay at a hospital at how different nurses behave with patients, and I don't mean with the physical attribute of having patients. I mean patients, the people who are in there. It's amazing to me how different it is than the Nazi nurses of the past. And I remember, you know, back in the old days. Fascinating. So I think it's good that they learn those kind of things. By the way, is that why you learned, is that how you learned about the cellophane on the finger, splintered finger?
No.
Okay.
No. No. Actually, you can do the same thing with your foot if you get a splinter.
I will definitely.
Wrap your foot.
Don't you dare insinuate that I would do the same thing with my foot. You're listening to Cotolo Chronicles here, and boy, we love having Gary on because you are a very popular teacher. It must be because I know that after every show we do together, the people over there at the station say, "Holy Christmas, you can't get the service full." You are very popular. So I don't know why they don't listen to you. If they listen to you now, are they just waiting for a buzzword so they can get extra credit and get the hell out of your class or what?
Yeah, what do you think the buzzword should be?
I think they like you. I think Dr. Popley is, I think they're walking around saying things like, "Hey, who'd you get for that behavioral science thing? I got Popley." They went, he's great. He's great, you know? And I never once saw his penis on the internet. What should be the buzzword? It should be something that they wouldn't hear anywhere else. Couldn't guess, right?
Right, like neo-postmodernism.
Neo-postmodernism would be good. You could,
okay, well, we'll make that the buzzword.
The buzzword is actually a phrase. Write it down. Write this down, as Dr. Fabiani said.
Neo-postmodernism.
Now, if they email me
that before 10:30, because I have 10:21 now.
10:30 Eastern time, Prince.
And then I'll give them 5 points extra.
Of course,
credit.
They're all in the Eastern time zone. Why would somebody in Afghanistan email you for credit? Right? Ridiculous. You see, this is critical thinking. I'm constantly, you know, I want to tell you something. Since I learned real, straight, strict, I should say, critical thinking, my life has been a tornado. Because, really, because it's like, no matter what you do, this is what I was saying in the beginning, you know, I was always like that. But then you learn to think it, use it as a tool. You critically think of stuff. And holy Christmas, the thought within a thought and this and that, and it's all a matter of,
Does that mean you were a victim of tornadic activity?
Oh no. That's right. There's extreme. When they did my CAT scan, they went, "Oh, there's extreme tornadic activity going on in the Pitsitanian lobe." And he's got full frontal. You know what? Listen, I was getting an MRI. I want to tell you this. This is what I'm going to do a show on this whole hospital. I want to tell you this one little thing, and your students will love this. I think if they don't, they could just email me and tell me they hate it. But the point is, so they tell you everything, every little thing. Oh, it's going to be loud, and you treat you like you're 8 years old, you know, and then you're going to hear this, and then you're going to do that, and then this, and then it's going to be really loud. It's going to seem like forever, and you're going to want to scream like I care about, you know. I'm not claustrophobic. No matter what you tell them, they tell you all this stuff. They're required to, right? Tell you all this stuff. So he says, "All right, now we're going to put you in," because then the thing goes in there and you're in this tube, this big metal tube, right? So as he starts to do it, I grab the guy's wrist, the main guy, and he goes, "What's the matter? What's the matter?" And I looked at him, I said, "If when I come out of here, it's 100 years into the future, I'm going to hunt down every one of your ancestors." And that's... I mentioned that's the first time anyone ever.
Did you have the closed MRI or the open one?
Oh, I was in there, baby. I was stuck in there.
Your nose is touching the top.
Oh, wow. And then they give you, you know what they do? I'm going to do a show on this because hospital have changed so much. And it was an A ticket at Disneyland. This last trip I had, this last day and a half I spent at the hospital. I mean, even if there was, turned out to be something really wrong with me, it would still be hilarious. And they made me sign something when I left, and if something really happened, I would never come back to that particular hospital. This is Frank Cotolo, Man's Name Adorns the Title of the Show, and Dr. Harry Popley is with us, and I hope he'll be with us many times in 2017 that we'll all be healthy and well, and all the students who I love. I mean, they could send me emails too, fcatolo@yahoo.com, but they won't because they all want to be nurses. I like nurses. I want to say this too because I really learned to like a lot of nurses. I was starting not to like nurses. And in the past, man, I gotta tell you, I really got stuck with some bitches in the past. Unbelievable. I mean, really, literally. I had one who was a stormtrooper. I swear to God. But anyway, here we are, and we want you all, it's really good, however they're teaching nurses now and whatever they're showing them to do so that when they get out there, and you know what they do? They float. Did you know that nurses float? I learned this time around. That's why they change. You go in if you have a time. He's like, I'm stationed from to this place to this place, right? But then when this one nurse said, oh, I might not be back because I'm floating. I said, who's getting the drugs around here? I want some of them. And they float, which means that they will just go wherever it's necessary. They don't have any one particular place. And if you ladies don't know that yet, because you're still learning to nurse, you will be floating, not just assigned to certain rooms and stuff. Now,
so they're floating nurses?
They are. They float. Floating is something they never did. They always gave nurses. Remember, and let's face it, in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Nurse Cratchit really gave nurses a bad name. Don't you think? That was bad press.
No, listen.
Remember Nurse Cratchit? Hey, do you make your kids
about that? They don't even know what that show is.
Oh, it's not a show. It was a book.
A movie.
It was a novel. No, it was a novel. Then it was a play. Then it was a movie. Please tell them to read it and watch it. Read it. Don't even watch it.
Do you remember? Here's another thing I talked about. Do you remember that movie Coma?
Vaguely.
Well, I guess that's why they didn't know it either.
No. This must have been one of those.
Remember the books written? Robin Cook used to write all these books.
No, I wasn't into that particular mainstream of mediocrity.
You weren't?
Coma. You know, I think I half read a book. I read Semi-Coma. No, I don't know Coma. I'll look it up and see. But wait a second. You can't compare that. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest it's taught. They teach that in schools of drama, schools of regular schools of not drama and literature. Everything. That's American literature. Ken Kesey, who himself went a little nuts because he took a lot of acid. But this, remember Ken Kesey, the American Pyramid? The Kool-Aid acid test?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Ken Kesey. Same guy wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Everyone should read that. And you nurses should read
it. Listen, I think it's a classic. Yeah. It's a classic.
And it's better as the play and the book are the best. Kesey hated the movie with the Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, but the movie was great.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't great for one reason. They made Nurse Cratchit this pretty lady. And, you know, I mean, if you read the book, she's a witch. She's a horrible human being.
How about, wait a minute.
She gave in the book, she's horrible.
How about the nurse in that one movie? The guy couldn't leave the bed and she was hitting his...
Misery.
Yeah. And she was smashing his ankles with 2x4s and things.
Well, that was a mentally disturbed person. She wasn't a nurse at the time. Nurse Cratchit was a nurse in a institution for people who were considered, you remember, because the mentally ill were once considered, well, they're gone, right? They're gone.
Right.
There's no reason to treat them like humans.
Who was the tall Indian guy?
Well, he, by the way, the chief, so you know, the chief is the main character of that book.
Nicholson.
It's not Nicholson and that character. I forgot his name. It's a famous, he is the main character in that book. Everybody read it. Come on. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Comes from the,
I think they should read it.
It comes from the fairy tale. One Flew East, One Flew West.
If they'll read that book before I get off the air and send me
Change the buzzword to cuckoo. Right? Let's do that. Okay, there are now two buzz. There's the buzz phrase, because you're not going to remember neo-postmodernism. Cuckoo is easy. Let's make it cuckoo.
Well, okay, cuckoo or or postmodernism.
Yeah, or neo postmodernism.
Because now we got them, you know.
And you know where, Gary, I'm going to tell you something else. If you send, also send it to me at fcatolo@yahoo.com. I will send you, and with your address or whatever, or your email or whatever, I'll send you something for free that you can link to and have. How about that? I will send free gift to somebody. It could be, maybe it's one of my books. Maybe it's one that you could read on your smartphone or whatever. I will send something to you for nothing. You won't have to pay for it. And Gary will give you, what are you getting? Points? What are they getting? Credits?
Yeah, they're getting 5 extra points, 5 extra credit points.
5 points and a special gift from me. Frank Cotolo from Cotolo Chronicles, fcatolo@yahoo.com, and they know your email, right? You don't want to give it out because, do you? Because if somebody takes it and then shows a picture of a bare bottom and says it's yours, you're going to be shamed for life.
Yeah, but see, at my age and with my training, I could care less. It wouldn't, you see, that wouldn't upset me, but it upsets the adolescents. Wouldn't upset me, but.
Yeah.
You know.
So anyway, there you go. Cuckoo and neo-postmodernism, and you could send it to both for something for free for listening to this show here, which is still has another half hour to go as Gary tells us about some more other things. Tell us about some other things, and I won't fight you or give you opinions.
No, it's okay. Listen, I got something really interesting for you. This one researcher in at the University of Liverpool.
Yes.
He did this fascinating study. He looked at 2,092 paintings from 7 famous artists.
Okay.
And now, of the 7, 2 had suffered from Parkinson's disease, 2 suffered from Alzheimer's disease, and 3 had no recorded neurodegenerative disorders.
Now, how do we know this? If they were, obviously, those diseases were diagnosable. If that's yes. even a word. Okay. So we yes. knew they had.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so what he did was he looked at their paintings and he looked at this, you know what a fractal is?
No.
A fractal it's defined as a mathematical characterization of self-repeating behavior, like a snowflake or fingerprints or, you know, something like that. Trees, rivers that they always draw.
Okay.
And what they found was, the study showed that there are clear patterns of change in these geometric figures of the paintings who differentiated the artists from who suffer from neurological disorders from those who didn't.
Okay, let me get that again. I didn't totally get that.
So he could actually see it in their brush strokes of their paintings.
Oh, really? Because of how they painted, not what they painted, but how they painted?
Exactly, the strokes and these fractals. So if they normally, you know, painted, you know, say a snowflake a certain way, and then one of the ones who suffered from this neurodegenerative disorder painted snowflakes, as their paintings went on, the snowflakes became basically worse and worse, and they were suffering from this.
Can you name some of these painters? Do we know? We'll know them if they were famous, right? Who? What are they? Who are they?
Hold on. Let me see if I can find some of the names.
Yeah, that would be
okay. Here. Salvatore Dali.
Oh, of course. Dali. Yeah. Okay.
Norval Morisot. James Brooks.
Okay.
Willem de Kooning. Marc Chagall. Pablo Picasso.
Oh,
and
Chagall.
Claude Monet.
Wow. Wow.
Claude Monet, Pablo Picasso, and Marc Chagall. They did not suffer from a neurodegenerative disorder, but the other ones did. And they could see it in the picture. That's pretty fascinating, isn't it?
That is fascinating.
Yeah.
Does that mean that, could a doctor say, if he wants to diagnose one of those things, could he ask and he thinks maybe a patient has it. Could he forget about x-rays or MRIs and CATs or whatever that, and just say, hey, draw me a tree. Can he?
Oh no! Well, wait a minute.
Can't
now
do that.
Now you're getting into Freud's area because you know there's a projective test house tree person. You have someone draw a house, a tree, and a person. And if the next time you and I are together, I have you draw a house, I will totally psychoanalyze you.
I would love that because now when you say draw a house, it would just be any way I want to draw a house, right?
Well, see now right away. Because you say that, it brings out the obsessive compulsiveness in you.
Yeah, I would draw. I mean, I know.
Make sure you get it right.
No,
all
no, no,
I said
no.
Was draw a house.
No, 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 no. I didn't. No, I'm saying because I know that if I draw anything you asked me to draw, I would draw in my certain. I mean, you know, I don't draw stick figures and stuff. I draw.
You're not allowed to draw stick figures.
Oh, okay. So then, yeah. Okay. So then, I would draw a house.
Yeah.
Not a home because a house is not a home.
And then I could analyze you.
We're gonna do that again if you ever decide to see me again in person. I draw a house, not a home, because a house is not a home if there's no one there to turn the key. Oh, please be there. I could draw. You say draw a home, I would draw something different than a house.
How about go home?
Don't forget Premier's pain spray. I kept this stupid thing. We're going to talk about that one day. There's so much to do, so much and so little time. So many thoughts, so little time here at Cotolo Chronicles. Well, we have a little more time here, too. Tell me something else. How many of these things do you go on, not to you? I mean, you read a lot of them, and you're still not really up to date, right? Because, I mean, there's content, right? What? What are you laughing about? I mean,
I'm trying to stay up to date. What do you mean I'm not really up to date?
What I mean is so many of these things go on. You've got stuff to do and live your life, right? That like today, there's like by next week, there's 20 more. How do you get on top of all them, right? I mean, these things are constantly being done, aren't they, these studies? Or is it just like, is there a study season? Do all the guys sit around and go, well, it's April, it's study season again. We got to get all these studies done because then we're quiet for the rest of the year. I mean, doesn't it just constantly happening?
Well,
hello.
It is, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's all being published.
Oh, okay. Okay. See, so when is it published?
In psychology, we have this phenomenon known as file drawer phenomenon. And what that means is that if you do any type of psychological research, and then when you analyze your data, let's suppose, in psychology, the acceptable rate of chance is the probability has to be less than 0.05, meaning that the results that you obtained have to be less than 5 out of 100 chance that they occurred simply by chance and not as a result of the research.
All right.
So let's suppose you do this sophisticated study. You come up with these unbelievable results. You have, you know, pages and pages of data. You analyze it and you find out that your P value is not less than 5. Instead of less than 0.05, it's 0.06.
All right.
Well, you're not going to get it published.
Oh, okay.
So what's going to happen is you're going to send it into journals. They're going to say, sorry, you know, the P level has to be less than 0.05. And so what you're going to do basically is put it in a manila folder and stick it in the file cabinet. And psychologists and researchers now are seeing this as a huge problem because we're starting to realize that even if you get answers, research that totally contradict your hypothesis, that still tells you something.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do a study and you come up with a hypothesis and the p-value turns out to be huge, and you get the exact opposite of what you thought, nobody's going to publish it, but it's really useful information. But unfortunately, it's very difficult to get something published. The number of journals that are out there now, you know, it keeps expanding and expanding and expanding, but they're kind of specific as to what types of articles they'll take. And, you know, they get so many people sending them articles, and then they have experts who read them and look at them and weed them out.
It's timely, yeah. Yes.
And so, you know, when the journal finally comes out, say it's a monthly journal, it might have 10 articles in it.
But wasn't there a book on the, wasn't there a very popular book on the p-value, the yellow stream? Wasn't that... See what comes up? The childhood, most childish, see what comes up? Because people were telling you, you're reading? And a kid would go, yeah, I'm reading a new book, The Yellow Stream by IP Daily. These are the foundations of you growing up in a are in a world where you tell your uncle, hey, listen, you know, I've learned to play guitar. And he goes, that's great. He says, do you want me to play something for you? He goes, yeah, can you play Far, Far Away? Welcome to Vaudeville, growing up in Vaudeville, ladies and germs. Unbelievable. You see what I'm saying?
It's, hey, listen.
It's environment, isn't it? It's all environment. Environment, excuse me. You grow up in a place where this teacher goes, well, it's February. And then it's like you're 32 and you go, there's an R in February? February? Where's the R? At the end, right? There's two R's? I don't get it. This is the remaining half hour, almost half hour of Cotolo Chronicles. Y2K plus 17, Gary Popley's with us. Always educational, entertaining, and, a lot of stuff, a lot of other E's that go on when Gary's here with us.
Did I tell you about the, I told my class this. I stopped the other day to get gas. Did I tell you this?
When would you have told it to me?
Well, because we
when we
talked,
on the phone. Oh, okay, no,
night.
No, I didn't. You didn't.
Okay.
I didn't hear the gas story, Doc. Can you tell me the gas story?
So I stopped to get gas.
Yeah.
And as I'm putting gas in my car, this woman pulls up. She gets out. She sticks the nozzle in her car, and she lights up a cigarette.
Really?
And I thought.
Did you say something?
It's not really a good thing. Well, sure enough, you know when you take the nozzle out, you get like the last couple drips.
Sure.
It falls on her arm catches on fire.
You're kidding. So, this really
so
happened.
I run over
oh no, there's a joke, isn't it?
I put it out.
Yeah.
And fortunately, there was a police officer in the 7-Eleven, came out and arrested her. Because he said you can't wave a firearm.
I knew this was I was waiting for it. You know why I tend to believe that kind of stuff? Because I wind up in the most precarious situations in my life. I always seem to be, people who watched the movie or read the book Forrest Gump, they don't associate me with his lack of intelligence. Maybe some of them do, but it's always like I always seem to be somewhere where something's happening, and I got these stories about stuff and people. You know, I've had that. So when you tell me that tonight, I was telling my son a story. He asked me. He said, hey, "You know, Dad, did you know things? You know, I'm like the insurance guy. I know a lot of things because I've seen a lot of things. You know, in that kind of commercials, I know an awful lot of stuff because I've done whatever he says." Yeah, but meanwhile, he doesn't know where he left his Oscar. That guy, he's just collecting checks. Anyway, my son asked me about, he said, you know, people shoot rifles up in the air and they just shoot bullets in the air. How come we never hear of these things coming down? You know? And I told him a story, which is the God's honest truth. It's not a joke. What are you laughing about? Now I'm telling you the truth here. This is not one of those stupid made up stories where an old lady lights a cigarette or something happens so you could give me.
So what happens when you shoot the bullets in the air?
The bullets come down.
Right.
You know? And I was literally, someone in my, a home where I was going to spend this, New Year's Eve after I worked. I went to his house because it was one of those railroad houses in Los Angeles, and by golly, he had gotten up to get somebody a drink because he was giving out drinks, and a bullet came through the roof and landed in the sofa where he had been sitting before he got up. Had he sat there, he'd have been shot to death by a stray bullet. These things come down. But we don't hear a lot because I guess the mathematical, or the odds of them hitting a person who's moving around, you know, are obviously very bad. But isn't that something? So I knew of that story. Now, how would I have a story like that, which I wouldn't just tell somebody unless they brought up the topic? I get stories like that up the kazoo.
Hey, when you were growing up, did you learn how to play the kazoo?
Yeah, no, I learned later on. Besides, you don't have to learn. All you have to do is hum.
Yeah, well, you know. Remember those round things that the teachers used to have? When you were in music class, and they would spin it around to say, you know, C,
oh,
key of C, or something.
Yeah.
And they'd blow into it,
yeah.
And you'd start singing. Then they'd turn it, and they'd say, okay, ready, woo, and right. Then you start singing to that thing. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember most of the kids had no idea about keys or anything. And then what came out, we had a teacher named, and see, now I got a story. Mr. Denisi was in junior high school, was the music teacher. What a jerk. And everybody knew he was a jerk, but he used to make us sing songs from the kids. I mean, this is kids in like eighth grade. So he used to teach us and make us sing, songs from The Sound of Music, from the play. It was like, what? And we're sitting there, we had to learn, doe, a deer, a female deer, ray, a drop of golden sun. Look at, I still remember. And I don't know, remember all of it. These kids were sitting there singing it, and some of these kids.
I call myself.
Yeah.
Far, a long, long way to run.
Far is not a long, long way to run. Far, it's far. But he said far. Now, let me tell you something. Turtle. Let me tell you something. Turtle didn't even like to sing those songs, and Mammal was spitting on everyone because his lips were always wet, and when he sang pee, everybody would get sprayed. That was Mammal. And then we're not even going to mention Ted the Head. Okay, this is Cthulhu Chronicles. If you've been with me all these years, you probably know a lot of these stories. I've told them, and whenever you, and any of you people out there who know the people I'm speaking about, if they're still alive, and I hope they are still alive, to let them get in touch with me. Anyone can get in touch with me, fcthulhu@yahoo.com. And don't forget you people there at, you nurse students. Do you have male nurse students?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
So I want them to send an email to you because you're going to give them something for free, fcthulhu@yahoo.com.
That's right. I will. I swear. If you give me – and I will not give your information out to anyone. Let's say there's a privacy issue here. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to do that, nor am I going to find out where – from that, I'm not going to get your list of friends and send them bad material about you. I don't do that. Don't have to worry. There's no shame involved with getting in touch with me. Although I know there are some women out there who disagree with you. Now, so you do, you keep up. So you are pretty much abreast of all the latest based on what you just told me about.
I'm trying to. Yeah.
You are.
And I'll tell you, my homepage on my computer is apa.org. And every time I turn on my computer, here comes APA.org.
Right.
And it gives you, I click on the section that says, latest research, or they'll have a captivating headline or something, and I'll read that. And,
yeah, you've given me that.
I'm also my students, though, I'm a news junkie, and I'm a, I listen to talk radio, and I try to keep up with the latest, especially if it pertains to psychology.
Yeah.
I kept up with some of the things, who won the presidential election.
Well, if you listen to talk radio, then you must be psychoanalyzing, because most of those guys roll a phony, fraud, psychologically corrupted people, whether they're left or right or whatever. I mean, the people who do talk radio with agendas are all psychologically bent, right?
Yes. Yeah. And they all have an agenda.
Yes, they all
have. They all have a purpose. And I don't like that. It's not truthful.
I know. And we don't, but they talk to the people who want to hear what they say, and they know those people. So they tell them what they want to hear. That's the name of that game. Now that we've established that and we know that, we're not going to do a show on talk radio. Maybe we will another time. Let's look with the last, 10 minutes we have. Tell me what the latest thing in your field, what's the latest thing that everyone's really excited about? Did you hear yesterday, this is not your field, but for instance, yesterday I heard this report, and I have not confirmed it, that they found like 10 or 12 new planets somewhere?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, okay, that's real, okay.
And they're close to the star, because the star is only equal to 10% of our sun.
There you go. So this is fascinating.
They have to be closer and closer to the sun in order to. And they think that three of the seven could be suitable for life.
So if that's the most exciting thing in the, in that scientific territory, what right now in your field is the most exciting thing people are waiting or they to find out more about, or really, what's the buzz thing happening?
Okay. Two things. Oh, by the way, the planets, how far away they are?
They're really, are they far? A long, long way to have planets?
A long, long way away. Yeah. They, They said that if a United airplane took off today and flew in the direction of the planets, it would take the plane 11 million years to get there.
That's why I'd take Lufthansa. I wouldn't take United.
Okay, so two things real quick.
Nonstop, by the way. Lufthansa, nonstop. And they got those great beds on it. What?
You know what's making a comeback and they're having a 70% success rate with?
In your field?
In my field.
What?
Electroconvulsive therapy, shock treatments.
Really? And we were talking about One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Correct.
Oh, wow. Go ahead. Tell us.
And so, can you believe they made this one small change? Now, if someone is suffering from severe depression, and nothing else has worked, doctors are now recommending that they get shock treatments. And if it's severe, then they do what's called bilateral shocking, where they put a paddle on each one of your temples, and they shock you to the equivalent of a tiny seizure on both sides of your brain.
And what is that supposed to do, though?
Someone came up with an idea that if the depression is not that terrible, they isolate supposedly that the depression is in, for example, the right hemisphere. So they put one paddle on your right temple and another one in the center of your head. And that's called unilateral. And this is relatively new. And now people are, you know, coming back to get shock treatments, and it's helping people.
Let me ask you something. What is the, without being too technical or academic, what is the theory behind shocking the brain that way?
It does two things. It changes brain chemistry, and it activates neural pathways or synapses in your brain that have actually started to die off. Uh-huh. And so your brain has a new exhilaration, I'll say, of electric energy as a result of the shock treatments.
And this is regular, like AC current? What is this electricity?
Yes, it is. And the thing nowadays, you see, if you recall, in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, they didn't put Jack Nicholson under general anesthesia. Now they do.
Oh, okay.
They'll put you under general anesthesia that lasts for literally 5 minutes. And so as soon as you're under general anesthesia, they shock you. They wake you up 5 minutes later. You go in the recovery room a few minutes, you know, half hour. So after that, you're free to go. And you can only get so many shock treatments in a week or so. But
before you leave, do they, like, test you, ask you any questions or anything that makes you that makes them understand that you're not depressed? I mean, do they do anything, or just got to wait a week or something, or what?
No, you just, right, all you can do is wait and see. Mm. And, you know, it doesn't work for everybody, but for someone who has tried everything and nothing else has worked, mm-hmm. then, you know, their philosophy is, I'll take a shot at it.
That's something.
Right. And then the other thing that is pretty fascinating, and this is not necessarily psychological per se, but neurological, is they have a new chemical now. I can't remember exactly what the name is, and it is, you get it, these injections, and this particular chemical now prevents people from getting migraines. So if someone has been a migraine sufferer for years and years and years, and, you know, I suffer from migraines, but I don't have 4 and 5 a week like some people. Mm-hmm. These people, they actually can go through several weeks without getting a migraine.
Wow.
So the only problem is they think that this drug could be approved by the FDA by 2018, but the cost of it would be $10,000 a year.
Well, that may go down.
Yeah. So, exactly. So, but that's brand new.
Came
out today.
Back in the old days before, you know, when doctors were, you know, they didn't go have all this, this munificence of study that goes on. They used to say things like, oh, headaches, you know, 90% of all headaches are psychosomatic. Do you remember hearing that?
Yes, but you know what?
It's not true, right?
Well, psychosomatic, people do not understand what the definition of psychosomatic is.
Good, then maybe I don't need to tell me what they were saying.
See, people were using the term psychosomatic to mean that this was all imagined and right. It was all in your head and it was, you know, and that's not what psychosomatic means. It means that a psychosomatic means there's an actual physical condition that's causing some disruption. So, for example, hypertension is psychosomatic.
Really?
But if you don't get it taken care of, you know, it can kill you.
Right.
So it's an actual physiological disruption that you need to take care of, but it's usually caused from something such as stress or, you know, something along those lines.
Well, it says here, psychopathology. I'm looking it up here. Psychoanalyst, psychosomatic. How would you spell that? Psychosomatic.
S-O-M-A-T-I-C.
It's S. A psycho S. Psychopath. Psychosis. Psycho. Wow, it's not even here. And this is a 1960. This is the American thing.
1960.
Yeah. This. My very psychrometer. Psychosomatic should be S. Psychosis. Psychosomatic. It's not here. There's no psychosomatic. I think you're spelling it incorrectly. Psychopath. No. Oh, look, there's a picture of me. Anyway, I'm joking. Well, that's good to know that. It's also did you know that pterodactyl, the word pterodactyl is on the same page as psychology? There's something for you. Gary, thanks a lot.
What exactly is a dactyl?
What is a dactyl and why is it saying those nasty things about me?
And how do you tear it?
We will have you here again, by golly, if it's the last thing we do.
All right, Frank.
Thank you very much again.
All right. Keep in touch with me.
Stay in touch. Stay well, okay, because we all know that's important.
Okay. All right, Frank. Thanks.
Good night. And don't get your kids. Don't forget. Kids, I'm calling them kids. Don't forget. Write in.
Right. fcatolo@yahoo.com.
And him. Okay. Good night, kids. All right.
Okay, Frank.
Ciao.
See you.
It's always fun having Gary Popley on because he is fun and he does know a tremendous, he's got a wealth of knowledge on all this stuff because he should. I mean, he should have that. Now I'm looking to see how I can connect you with the fantastic, where is he? Mr. Tom Savino, who on most stations will be coming on following me. And me, what about me? Well, let me tell you about me because I think I better hit the theme soon. My name is Frank Cotolo, a man whose name adorns the title of the show, and somewhere here I have the, do I have it? What time is it? Where are we? Let's just hit it and see what happens, okay? Okay, so that means we're gonna be on our way out, that's what it is. Da 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 da! Don't forget, I gotta stop saying that. Why say don't forget? Just say remember. Or just say hey. You know where to get the books. You know where to get me. CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. Get me on Facebook. Frank Cotolo. I don't have any. Forget about Instagram. Twitter @FrankCotolo. I'm not always there and I don't tweet the way some people do, but who cares anyway, right? There is wonderful stuff going on out there. Be good to yourself. Good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you may be located. Wherever you may be located, we're going to find out what's going to go on next week and the rest of March. It's going to be a wealth and a plethora of fascinating talks, people, and whatever. I said goodnight to Mrs. Ernstwhile. Now I'll say goodnight to you, and we'll say hello to Mrs. Savino shortly. Why? Because I have nothing more to say.